Roots. Hello, I'm Steve Punk. Welcome to the Now Show. And with me are Mitch Benn, John Holmes, Lewis McLeod, Laura Shavin, and Danielle Ward. So, Sky TV have reluctantly commissioned a new reality show. The only way is ethics. First, the News of the World closes down, then the Sky bid is withdrawn. It seems billionaire media moguls spend their summers just like the rest of us. First, you cancel the paper, and then you go away. Was it only 2009 that the newspapers were trashing the House of Commons every day for months, pouring ridicule MPs, holding Parliament up to scorn and contempt? Yes, it was. And this week came the revenge movie.
Their colleagues' careers lay dead. Their duck houses and bath plugs lay in ruins. Now, 650 pissed off parliamentarians present, I Know What You Did to Us 2 summers Ago.
What's the matter, Rebecca? It's only a select committee.
Yeah, the Commons Culture Committee has invited Rupert Murdoch, James Murdoch and Rebecca Brooks to give evidence next Tuesday. And they took a while to reply because given their relationship with the government up to now, they were confused that they weren't asked to bring a bottle of wine and a pudding. I'm rather hoping that Sky cover it in their own inimitable style.
Coming soon on Sky, live and exclusive, it's Super Tuesday. Rebecca, I Was On Holiday Brooks, and James, here's 20 million, that ought to buy them off. Murdoch, take on the House of Commons Select Committee, and you can see it right here on Sky. Sky, believe we're bitter.
Because after this fast-moving week, we now know that it all seems to have started 11 years ago in a call centre.
Hello, Abbey National.
Hello, it's Gordon Brown here.
What, the Gordon Brown?
Yes, that's right, it's me. It's definitely me.
And how can I help you this morning?
So, just remind me, how much did I spend on my new house?
Now, strangely, nobody at the Abbey National seemed at all surprised that a Chancellor of the Exchequer wouldn't have a clue about their own finances. But they did tip off number 11 that someone appeared to be impersonating the Chancellor, possibly by making shrewd guesses about his passwords.
I'm sorry, Mr. Brown, but before we proceed, can I just ask for your ID code, please?
Yes, it's I Hate Tony.
No, I'm sorry. You have one more attempt or I will have to cut you off.
You bigoted woman.
Is absolutely correct.
Now, it would have been hard to hack Gordon's phone, of course. You'd have to find the one that he hadn't thrown at anyone yet. But there the affair lay for 5 years, until suddenly an exciting story appeared in the News of the World, causing consternation among staff at Buckingham Palace.
I say, it says here in the paper that Prince William has injured his knee.
I told you to change that ringtone. It frightens the corgis.
A royal journalist and a private investigator were sent to prison, but soon allegations emerged that other people's voicemails had been hacked as well, and these included the Deputy Prime Minister, whose voicemail was quite difficult to hack.
Thank you for calling and indeed communicating and moreover speaking electronically through the telecommunications medium to myself, that is to say to me, John Prescott. I am not available for replying or indeed any purposes of responding or similar and such like reciprocal actions at the moment, but if you would like to leave a message, please do so after indeed following the tone, unless you're from Pizza Hut, in which case where's my bloody deep pan pepperoni? I ordered it half an hour ago and I'm starving. Wait a moment, I hadn't finished or completed my outgoing greeting message, the purposes of which are, as I've previously uttered, and trust made clear, to point out to specify the fact that I am not currently available to take a call or indeed any call. But should you wish or want to leave a message, then, as I've said, please speak or make verbal utterances after the tone. That was the tone to which I referred. Just to reiterate that if you wish to record a message, then it is after that tone which you have just heard and to which I have previously made reference to that you should speak.
And at that point, Glenn Mulcair's battery ran out, and he had to give up. But by now, other celebrities were suspicious, and some of them started taking advice.
Excuse me, Sienna Miller?
Yes, that's right.
I'm a top lawyer. I'd like to act for you.
Oh, good. It's about time someone did.
It was at this point, to really get to the bottom of these murky rumours, that the government called in the man the select committee dubbed Clouseau of the Yard.
Is this your film?
Beg your pardon?
Is this your film?
Oh, my phone, yes.
And you have believed that your voicemails have been hacked?
Yes, I do, yes. Me and lots of others.
I believe that this is the work of one man and that he acted alone.
But that's ridiculous. It couldn't be more suspicious if you were to suddenly resign and then take a well-paid job working for the Sunday Times. Then there was the Press Complaints Commission. They said...
Oh, nothing we can find wrong. What a lot of silly fuss.
It was PCC gone mad. Another couple of years passed, the New York Times published more allegations, the Guardian published more allegations, not just phone hacking, but police bribes and going through people's bins to find personal info. As a measure of Murdoch's lobbying power, bin collections were even changed to once a fortnight, as they didn't have enough reporters to get around everybody's bin. Just in a week. More and more celebrities came forward. There was Max Clifford, who summoned up all his integrity and concern for journalistic standards and said...
OK, give us a million, I'll keep quiet.
And Sienna Miller, who said...
I am outraged. I demand justice. I demand truth.
And finally...
Actually, I'll take $100,000.
Would you like us to act for you?
No, I've been having lessons.
But eventually, the number of victims with people acting for them grew so great that even the £20 million that James Murdoch had set aside to settle all these cases of something no one knew had even happened was not enough. Not when we discovered the people who had been hacked included bereaved parents, terror victims and missing children. It was at this point that Ed Miliband rose. He rose and he said...
I would like to thank the people of this country... for standing up and saying something loudly and clearly. And what the people have said was, for God's sake, Ed, grow a pair and have an opinion for once.
Confronted with this issue, David Cameron reeled around in shock like David Hay confronted by a decent boxer. And the House of Commons went to the vote.
All those in favour of allowing Rupert Murdoch to buy Sky Television say aye. All those against say, I have to travel standard class thanks to people like you, get stuffed.
Yay! Newspapers might find themselves now having to work under the same sorts of rules as broadcasters.
Ahoy there. Calls to informants are charged at standard network rate. Please do not intercept voicemail messages unless there is a public interest defence. Any calls made outside of this remit will not count, and you may end up being charged. By the police. Oh!
No one is going to risk hacking a celebrity at the moment, which will be a relief to Andy Coulson when he gets his one phone call from the police station. The crisis is already costing News International a lot of money, mainly in shredding machines and new hard drives, but it may not end there. A US senator has proposed an inquiry into whether any 9/11 victims' phones were hacked, and if any evidence emerges that they were, Rupert Murdoch's career in media may take a whole new twist.
Big issue. By the big issue.
Welcome another of the fine comics who have toiled on the writing deck of the Good Ship Now show before moving up to the poop deck of comedy and now returning to take the helm. I'm going to stop that metaphor right there and introduce Danielle Ward.
Hello. Universities Minister David Willetts has agreed to let a third of all universities charge the maximum £9,000 a year from 2012 in tuition fees. Just think, if this fee system had been in place a few years ago, the Middletons would never have afforded to find out what university Prince William was going to and make sure their daughter spent every waking moment becoming his perfect woman. I'm not bitter, I don't care, I don't even fancy him. Now, I'm not some bleeding heart liberal. I think that perhaps the reason we've run out of money for free higher education was because we allowed any polytechnic with a Bunsen burner and some branded pencils to call themselves a university. If you've only managed to scrape 4 UCAS points, 2 of them in general studies, then maybe university isn't the path for you. Because let's not forget, not everybody with a degree is clever. You only need to watch an episode of The Apprentice to work that one out. University should be accessible to anybody who has the academic desire to be there. It should not be based on whether or not you can manage a £50,000 debt. Plus, student loans are automatically written off if you die. So if anything, this is only going to give us an entire generation of students who fake their own death upon graduation. But it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Just a fair choice. I mean, I did pay tuition fees, but they were so small, it was sort of offset by the council tax exemption. And I didn't even mind not having a grant. I got a job. I worked in a fried chicken shop for 2 years. My nickname was Hot Wings. Because that is what I stank of. Seriously, no one kissed me in my second year. That is a true thing, not even drunk people. But if I'd have had to have paid £9,000, I'd never have gone to university. I wouldn't be doing this for a living. I wouldn't have all those happy memories of a face full of chip steam. Worth it. I'm going to do a song now as well. And I normally play the bass. So this is like 50% harder than any time I've been on stage with an instrument. That's a good joke. It's got six strings, basically got four. Some of you didn't go to university. So this is a song that I've written for people who will never get to go to university. It's about what happens. Making up excuses for missing earlier lectures, offering bizarre and ill-thought-out conjecture, wearing seven jumpers because you can't afford the heating, waking up beside somebody you don't recall meeting. These are the best days. These are the best days of your life. Unprotected fumblings, a bit of late night humping, VD clinic walk of shame, public Facebook dumping, falling out with neighbours because you're making such a racket, your dinner's processed turkey ham you eat straight from the packet. These are the best days. These are the best days of your life. Rebel Pro Plus late night cramming, your body's broke but your essay's slamming, dodgy landlords, Jaeger bombs, a fresher's wig that's full of clange, and you're sick on chairs and sick on tables. If you could find him, you'd be sick on Vince Cable. Reading lists and getting pissed, dubbing potential terrorists. FYI, a man with a beard and an internet search on peroxide probably doesn't count. These are the best days. These are the best days of your life. Nietzsche, Austin, Darwin, Niels Bohr and Fukuyama, books by Richard Dawkins, posters of the Dalai Lama, exposure to ideas and thoughts and minds of such diversity. It's a shame you'll never get to go to university. These are the best days. These are the best days of your life. And if you can't afford to go, then blame the coalition.
Now, one of the weirdest bits of news emerged this week is that Eddie Izzard may have been coaching Ed Miliband in public speaking. Now, certainly Ed seems to have found his voice in the last week, but I have to say I am sceptical.
Mr. Speaker, the government's reform of the public services will cause immense problems. What would have happened if Darth Vader had been forced to outsource the building of the Death Star? Ooh, I require a vast space station capable of destroying planets. It will have to be privately funded, Lord Vader. I don't care how it's funded. I want to destroy whole planets. The tendering process will require you to award the contract to the lowest bidder. What the hell are you talking about? Just give me big lasers and shooting things. Would you mind if it was built in Germany, Lord Vader? Yes, I bloody would. I don't want the Death Star built in bloody Germany. I want it built in space near a planet I can blow up. Ooh. Would the Prime Minister agree this is very, 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 very silly?
There's a whole secret world opening up here. I mean, if Miliband is taking lessons from a stand-up comic, then maybe everyone else is as well.
Order, order, I call upon the Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, listen, I've got to tell you. It was Labour that got us into this mess. Because there's no money about it. So everybody's skin, everything's closing. Honestly, it's terrible. You think these are designer glasses, but no, I got them at Poundland.
Now, the big question, of course, who's coaching Nick Clegg? I mean, nice middle-class chap, middle of the road, wants to be all things to all people. Ooh, I can't think.
Hello, and welcome to Nick Clegg's Coalition Roadshow. What is it about power? We want power because we've never had it. We always want to get to power, but then when we get to it, we don't know what to do with it, do we? Have you noticed that it's like, give me power. Oh, I want to get power. Give me power. Oh, I've got power. Why do we do that?
But for all the party leaders, of course, it is the end of term. Parliament breaks up next Tuesday, which can only mean one thing. The final end-of-year reports are due to arrive. Cameron D.
David's homework on public service reform was handed in at the very last minute and lacked the required detail. He chose the title The Big Society without once explaining what on earth this actually means. He has also achieved a disappointing number of marks graded U turn.
Spelling.
I begin to wonder if David suffers from some form of dyslexia. He consistently uses the word reform when he clearly means privatise. A vocabulary lesson is perhaps called for.
Miliband E.
I have become somewhat concerned for Ed since his older brother left the school. Until very recently, Ed has seemed rather lost and unsure of himself. It might help if he could be supplied with his own shoes. His brothers are still somewhat too large for him, and he constantly trips himself up.
Gove M is considering leaving the school to attend a school set up by someone else's parents in an empty building in the high street. And good luck to him. Clark K.
Dear Mr. and Mrs. Clark, I'm sorry to say I've had to throw Ken off the debating team following his inability to follow even the most basic of debating rules at a debate about what constitutes rape. Dividing the subject matter into serious rape and more light-hearted forms of rape was deemed inappropriate. He has also been spotted in the pub recently, which I trust did not contribute to his falling asleep in assembly.
Hunt Culture Secretary Jay
has had a difficult year after several older pupils found his name difficult to pronounce.
Cable V.
Vince talked too much earlier in the term, but has quietened down since being caught trying to impress girls. Not happy in his group of friends. Needs to mix with people more his own age.
Johnson B.
Boris has been very preoccupied this term organising the school sports day. Apologies to all parents who have failed to get tickets.
Sorry about that. Tickets are not really my thing. Who's up for a spot of whiff-waff after school, eh? Meet me behind the bike sheds.
Now, normally here at this point we'd do some height-based jokes, but frankly, time's short and I wouldn't stoop that low unless, of course, I was adjusting the microphone. Please welcome John Holmes.
Thanks very much. I was away for a week last week, and when I got back, the news had gone mental. Steve Coogan was shouting at a man on Newsnight. Hugh Grant was shouting at a man on Question Time. A wrinkled old man was on the news putting his arm around a woman with the hair of one of the bears from the Hair Bear Bunch. One of his newspapers was having what I can only presume was a closing down sale, because I definitely heard at least one journalist leaving his office last Sunday saying,
"Closing down! Thousands of incriminatory emails must go!"
Now, obviously, all of this, what's been going on, all of this has meant that this week has been a very good week to bury bad news. And not just bad news, also stupid news.
David, how are we going to tell people what we've called our daughter?
Harper 7. Now, as many are pointing out, that's not a name, it's a time. Anyway, it's The Guardian, of course, that's the proud madam of this current news orgy. Yet not being content with doggedly chasing Murdoch's herd of newspapers off a cliff, you may be surprised to learn that they've also found time this week to target someone else. Wednesday's edition of The Guardian carried this shocking headline.
Cornish Cafe sells celebrity leftovers. Shell fragment from egg sandwich eaten by comedian Hugh Dennis is £100.
£100 for something Hugh Dennis has gone and left behind. You can have Steve Punt for £50. But wait, because in case you think Dennis is the only celebrity to have eaten at this particular cafe in King Sandy in Cornwall and left something. No. Because there's also
a crust from a cheese and tomato sandwich left by photographer David Bailey, £100.
Not to mention
a single blackcurrant from a bowl of ice cream left by swimmer Sharon Davies. £100.
I see a pattern emerging here. And just when you thought it couldn't get any more star-studded,
calm down, dear.
There's also a small piece of lemon drizzle cake left by Michael Winner. £100. Now, apparently, this Cornish cafe, quote,
has more than 20 exhibits sealed in jars to stop them going mouldy.
Seriously? Okay, they are collecting and selling off celebrity leftovers. Now, you might think this is sort of an entrepreneurial enterprise in a difficult economic climate on behalf of a cafe, but no. I know what they're doing, right? This is nothing more than a fiendish Cornish plan for a new visitor attraction. What they're doing is trying to extract DNA from the spat-out food to create some kind of Z-list celebrity Jurassic Park.
Be quiet.
Shh.
The celebrities hunt in packs.
At least this explains Hugh Dennis's constant velociraptor impressions.
By the way, for those of you listening at home who may be unaware of Hugh Dennis's velociraptor impression, just Google Hugh Dennis plus velociraptor and prepare to be bitterly disappointed. Anyway, over in the other more front page areas of The Guardian, of course, they've been very busy making sure that there are workers in a broken sewage plant in less shit than News International right now. News International got into trouble, and very quickly, all of the other newspapers were crowding around it, picking on it, like children taunting a told-off boy.
You're in trouble, you're in trouble.
All of them swarming round, pointing, going,
Rupert and Rebecca up a tree, H-A-C-K-I-N-G.
But then on Tuesday, there came this.
The inquiries into hacking should cover the activities of the rest of the press, not just News International.
And then they all went,
uh-oh.
Uh-oh is right. No one believes that it's just News International that are implicated in this, of course, that freelance private investigators weren't used by the rest of them. Yet newspapers are just the latest corrupt institution to fall. Not so long ago, broadcasters, you'll remember, were busted for fakery, yet that had been standard practice for years. MPs were next, fiddling their expenses. Then came the Catholic Church, fiddling with... Never mind. Then there was banking. Then there was banking. Next there was newspapers. And now there's politicians and police. All our institutions are proving corrupt. And I think perhaps Richard Bacon put it best on Twitter when he said it's suddenly become like we're all living in successive seasons of The Wire. Institutionalized corruption and scandal is destroying civilization faster than global warming ever could. If this carries on, society will evaporate. And then years from now, all that'll be left will be some polar bears standing on some ice caps going,
yeah, what happened to all the humans? I'm sure they used to be humans.
Not sure. I think they all went extinct some time ago.
Ah, not to worry. I've heard about this place in Cornwall where they're trying to bring them all back to life.
Well, life will always find a way. And if it doesn't, Hugh Dennis's egg sandwich will.
Thank you very much.
Now, please welcome Mitch Benn.
Italy and Greece running out of money, bombs in Mumbai, but that's not funny. Mila Kunis and that marine who asked her out on the YouTube screen. Egyptians' patience nearly spent on the interim military government. North Dakota might not be a state anymore. Elvis seen robbing a bookmaker's store. Wills and Kate were in LA. Karzai's brother got blown away. Hugo Chavez is ill and frail. Alaska and Inuits want to hunt whales. Yet more Irish pedophile priests. BBC salary is getting decreased. These are the other things in the news right now. They're the other things in the news right now. We're obsessed with the phone hacking scandal and how, but there are other things in the news right now. New socialist candidates for the French. Japanese award for Judi Dench. Joey Barton's been banned from the States. Longer NHS hospital waits. Independence for South Sudan. Lady Prime Minister in Thailand. Could algae be the biofuel answer? 4 in 10 people will get cancer. The final space shuttle mission begins. Ai Weiwei's got a job in Berlin. The US debt is mounting up. And Britain's out of the Robot World Cup. And we're out of the Women's World Cup as well. Syria's descending into hell. Colonel Gaddafi's still hanging on. So I thought I'd better
write this song, cause these are other things in the news this week. There are other things in the news this week. Apart from the hacks and the taps and the leaks, there are other things in the news this week. There are other things in the news right now. There are other things in the news right now. We're obsessed with the phone hack and scandal and how, but there are other things in the news right now.
Finally, on the inevitable topic of corruption, in the Philippines, the bishops there have given back some SUVs that the government gave them in return for supporting them. So we've asked our audience here tonight whether they have ever tried to bribe anyone. What was the bribe and did it work? And John and I will go through a few of these.
Have you ever tried to bribe someone? Yes, I once tried to bribe the Zambian police. What was the bribe? Cabbages in exchange for swift passage. Did it work? Yeah.
What was the... Have you ever tried to bribe someone? Yes, a diamond ring in exchange for a lifetime of ironing shirts and hot meals. Did it work? Not for the last four times.
What was the bribe? I told my husband, if you do the cooking, cleaning and washing up for a week, I'll do that thing you like to do in bed. Did it work? Yes, the house was spotless and I slept beautifully.
So thank you very much for those. And just to say, it's the last show of the series next week. Parliament will be in recess and silly season's starting. So there might be no big news next week. Instead, we'd like to know what the big news is where you live. Tell us what's making the headlines in your area or your local paper. Email us at thenowshow@bbc.co.uk. Or if you're quick, you can post us ideas on an old-fashioned postcard to The Now Show, BBC Radio 4, Broadcasting House, London, W1A, 1AA. Thank you very much for listening and goodbye.
That was The Now Show, starring Steve Hunt with Danielle Ward, John Holmes, Laura Shavin, Lewis McLeod and Mitch Fenn. It was written by the cast with additional material from Andy Walton, Benjamin Partridge, Ellen Stein, Jane Lammercroft, Steve Hall and Will Ing. It was developed with Bill Dare and the producer was Colin Anderson.